Welcome to the Miracle Camp podcast, and thanks for checking out this recording from summer camp. Please enjoy listening to our speaker from this week.
Let's see, Justin, Justina, I've been called Josh, I've been called... So listen up. So funny story in regards to names. So remember how I mentioned before I came into full-time ministry, I worked in finance. Specifically, I did a lot of corporate investing and banking and all that good stuff. Really, really boring stuff. But when I was in banking, I worked the call center for a little bit when I started. And you get a lot of interesting people when you're on the phone there. And so I'm just laughing at all the different names that you guys are giving me, because when I'd be on the phone there, I would have a conversation with, like, you know, an older lady who's trying to figure out her checking account or, you know, her retirement or whatever. And I have a, you know, maybe like a 30-minute conversation with her. I probably repeat my name at least 20 times. And still, at the end of it, she's like, "Thanks, George. Thanks, George." Or it's, "Thanks, Josh." Or it's, "Thanks, Jason." Now, Jason, I can get that. I can get around to that one. But George and Jeff, I don't know how we get there. So if you see me this week, I can be George, Jeff, Justin, Justina. I guess I'm all of them, right? But most importantly, I'm someone who has the opportunity to be able to share Jesus with you guys this today. So throughout this week, guys, we have been running through the book of James. We're going to be wrapping up the first chapter tonight. But I just wanted to do a little quick recap on some of the things that that James has brought up, the things that God has placed on his heart to present to us, and where he's going to be taking us, and how we ought to respond in those situations. So the first night, last night, we started discussing about the different trials, right? And then that eventually moved us towards having a conversation this morning about temptations, and specifically how the world will tend to distract us with all the goodness that it says it has, just to realize that those riches will lead to nothing. And it was actually really cool. I got to sit in on a discussion earlier, and one of the counselors, he had such a great addition to what we were discussing this morning, you know, because the crown, right, is this idea of eternal life. But the one thing that I love that he added on to that was the fact that when we have the opportunity to experience that eternal life, that joy, that peace right now, if we simply acknowledge Jesus as our Lord and Savior and we respond in those ways. He's already given it to us. So I may sound like a broken record all week. I'm going to continually repeat this idea that the thing that you are desiring has already been given to you. You just need to respond in the way that God has called you to respond. And so tonight, we're going to be moving in a direction of how we are to respond. This concept, this idea of listening and doing. And so as we always have been starting, I want us to refocus in prayer. So shall you bow your heads? Dear Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for this evening, Lord. As the prayers come upon me, Lord, again, just make me a vessel. Make me a mouthpiece for your word, Lord. Guide my heart, guide my mind, so that each and every youth here can leave here feeling encouraged, feeling challenged, but also feeling closer to you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So if you guys all have your Bibles, I would love for you guys to turn to James. And we're going to be starting at verse 19, and we're going to be reading to verse 27. And now it reads, "My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you." It's already there. "Which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. And so again, there's a lot to unpack in the closing remarks of James. So before I get started, yesterday I talked about the three A's, right? Do any of you guys remember what those three A's were? You want to help me out? What were the three A's? Your attitude. What was another one? What's another one? Yeah. Adjust. Yep, absolutely. And then what's the last one? Do you know that? So it's attitude, adjust. What was the last one? Can anyone help her out? Yeah. Attention. And so it's funny. So those three A's, they actually came at a time like you know, the Lord is just so kind in how he presents his message. In a time where I was beginning to struggle in hearing God, in listening for him. And I thought I was doing all the right things, and I think that that's where I went wrong. Because how often do we tend to think that if we do specific things, we're going to get a better outcome? You guys, I mean, that's kind of what the world teaches us, right? If you study hard, then you're going to get better grades. If you work out in the gym, then you're going to get stronger. If you practice more and show up more, then you're going to get the spot in that play. You're going to get the first chair in your band. You're going to achieve these things. But here's the catch: you need to do something in order to receive it. And so, I don't know about you guys, a lot of times whenever I don't feel God's presence, I tend to think that there is something wrong with the way that I am doing something. And so that got me thinking, what do you want, Lord? And our you know, Jesus and God is defined as being, you know, gentle and lowly. That means that when he took on human flesh, he did that to one, understand us. Because when he can understand us, he can love us really well. Of course, he came and died for our sins, died for that ability for us to have eternal life. But also, he loved us so much because he wants that relationship with us. That's all he wants. And within a relationship, the one crucial element within a relationship is having the ability to listen to one another, to have a conversation with one another, to be able to share the trials, the temptations, the things that we're going through. I don't know about you guys, but one of the coolest things that I have is an awesome support group. I have great mentors. I have great people that I get to mentor, but also I have great family and friends who I can share my trials and my challenges with. But also in the same sense, when I'm talking to them, they redirect me back to God. And so tonight, as we discuss and close out this final, the final couple of verses in this chapter, we're going to be talking about this idea of listening and the difference that it is from hearing versus listening. And so I have a couple things right here for you. So just to kind of do some recap on those three A's, like again, it came from this encouragement from the Lord that I need to lean more into him. And the first thing was I had to change my mindset. I had to change my attitude. And so that's what this idea of attitude means. It's the mindset you bring when listening and understanding Jesus's character. So it's not just this thing where you hear something like, oh man, that sounds really good. I'm gonna post that on my, I'm just gonna post that on my Be Real and, you know, call today, or I'm gonna put it in my bio. That's a really great verse, but we don't understand it. There needs to be a mind shift, and what I am about to receive is super, super important. And it's crucial that I put all of myself into this. All of myself, my mind, body, and soul into this. That's the attitude. That's the posture we need to be taking every chance we get when it comes to receiving the word and hearing the word from scripture or from pastors, from leaders. That's the approach that we need to take. Then it was this idea of attention. And attention, all that is, guys, is how we minimize distractions and keep ourselves laser focused on what God desires for us. So we saw in John 19, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen and slow to speak. I don't know if you guys have ever heard the saying, you know, that's why God made two ears and one mouth. But he gave us this opportunity for us to hear him first instead of just simply speaking to him. I don't know about you guys, but oftentimes I talk to God a lot when I am in a pinch, when I am in trouble, when things aren't going well. And usually when we are feeling that way, what are we doing a lot of? We're doing a lot of talking. And if I may challenge that, we're doing a lot of demand making of like, hey, God, this sucks and I need you to come and swoop me out of this. But here's the thing. There's other ways that we can pray in those situations as well. Sometimes all God is ever wanting for us is to simply sit in his presence. And I know that can be hard for some of us. I know for me, whenever I, you know, even feel 30 seconds of awkward silence, I will fill in the blanks. I would like I'll start just babbling and saying something. But sometimes God is just like, hey, I just want you to be here with me. So this is that idea of that attention, that attitude. And it's really cool on just how reinforced that is in Jesus' character as well, which we're actually going to go through that in a minute. And that final part, that idea of adjustment, it's this the reevaluating of your own truths and being willing to change them so that they align with God's vision. So this is the idea of how we are to listen. And I think a lot of us tend to confuse listening with hearing. Now hearing, that's the physical ability to perceive sounds or words. So for example, you know, you guys are hearing my voice right now. You guys are hearing, you know, you guys got to hear the worship team sing, right? You got to read the lyrics on the screen. You guys are reading the scriptures right now. Those are different ways that we hear from God, all right? And the thing about that is hearing is very passive, meaning that there's not much give and take within that situation, all right? Within that that action, all right? Now, and in Matthew 13:13, we see Jesus, and I just want to throw that in there, that he even knew that a lot of people were hearing and not listening. And he says, though seeing, they do not see, and though hearing, they do not hear or understand. So we need to move from this idea of hearing to listening. Now, what is listening? Listening is active. Listening requires engagement and a response. So they're like, again, there's those times where you want to talk and you want to issue your demands and you want to be, oh God, you're amazing, but I could also use this. Maybe the only response that he's asking for, you know, when you're asking for clarity, when you're trying to seek wisdom, when you want that guidance, maybe it's less about simply just asking, which James encourages us, let's ask, let's seek, but that believing portion, it could just be simply sitting there in his presence and waiting for him to speak to you through your friends, through scripture, through your family, through your pastors. And so I want us to try to get into this mind shift of not just simply asking and demanding, but taking time on it. Okay, how often through my prayer life am I just sitting there and just sitting in silence and trying to listen to him? How often am I reading a passage and not immediately going to Google and being like, all right, Google, like, what does this mean? Like, tell me what this means. I was like, I need to know the answer. But actually sitting with that passage, letting it marinate a little bit, and then being able to ask productive questions to your counselors, to your pastors, and listening and learning in those ways. Now we see in James 1 through 19 and 21, you know, we have that idea of, my dear brothers and sisters, take note. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. And when I read that, and I've told my youth that I've pastored this often, is just because you feel like someone is demanding a response or an answer right now does not mean you have to provide an unreadied answer. So, like, how often, you know, do we begin to speak out of emotion instead of confiding in Christ and confiding in those people that we trust to then provide an answer? And we see this, we see these actions taking place in a couple examples in Jesus' life. So the first one I can provide for you guys is when Jesus encountered Zacchaeus. And so Zacchaeus was a chief tax collector. Just to give you guys some context, anyone in the Jewish sect and Christian faith, they did not like him. They thought he was traitorous. They thought that he was a scoundrel. They thought that he was manipulative. And he became very wealthy, physical riches, through all that. And the cool part about it is, and I'm not going to read it tonight, but if you go to Luke 19, it tells the story of Zacchaeus. And I want to focus specifically on Jesus' response to him. He doesn't scold him initially. He doesn't tell him all the things that he's doing is wrong. Instead, he seeks him out and says, "You are going to host me tonight, and we're going to spend time together." And it was through that presence where Zacchaeus wasn't saying anything. He just sought him out. Zacchaeus was curious. He was a very short man. Maybe you guys learned that in Bible school. He was a very short man, so he climbed a tree. Jesus saw him, spotted him out, said, "Hey, you're coming home with me, and you're going to host me, and you're going to treat me well, and I want to tell you a new way," which then eventually led to Zacchaeus selling over half his possessions, committing his life to Christ. But the response through Zacchaeus was less about, "Oh Lord, like this," or "Lord, I need that," or "Lord, like I want to learn this." He just sought him out. There's nothing within the text that I see where Zacchaeus is trying to create demands from Jesus. But what I do see in that is he climbed a tree because he wanted to see him. He wanted to understand him. And it was through a simple response like that that Jesus began to work in his life. The second example that I have for you guys tonight is in John 8, verses 3 through 11, when we talk about the woman caught in adultery. Now, the Pharisees were trying to trap Jesus in allowing him to compromise his values while also trying to minimize his ministry of restoration and forgiveness. And here's the thing. They kept demanding an answer. They're like, "Give us an answer, give us an answer, give us an answer." And Jesus' response was very composed, and he knelt down, wrote a little something in the sand, got up, and his only response was, "For those who are blameless, you can cast the first stone." He took his time. So what I'm saying here, guys, is as we're reading this in James, this idea of listening and doing, if we want that heart transformation, it's not always going to come from us asking or being like, "Lord, am I doing it right? Am I doing it right? Am I doing it right?" It's going to more so come from us being with him, sitting in his presence, and showing up each and every day in our normal lives. And now, as we move on to James 1, 22 through 25, it says, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says." So do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. So a lot of us think that if we show up on Sundays, we read our Bible from time to time, we show up to camp, we're good to go. What James is saying there is we can't just simply hear the word, we can't just simply show up to these events, look shiny, but then not be convicted to go out and share our faith through our physical, through our emotional, through our verbal examples. He wants us to understand that believers who think that way, they're confused. They don't see the fact that faith combined within the works that we do show the proof of that testing that we talked about yesterday. And anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. Have any of you guys actually done that? Like you guys have like looked in the mirror? Okay. Like, can you imagine just, you know, maybe you go, you look yourself in the mirror, maybe you see like a pimple or something, and then you're like, all right, I need to go find a way to get this thing fixed. But then you leave the mirror, and then you forget it, and now you're walking all day, all you know, at school with just this big, nice crater on your cheek. Like this crazy example of just immediately forgetting what we look like, and using that as a parallel to how we hear God and not listen, is absolutely incredible. So in the same way. For example, let's paint a real picture for you guys. Let's say that we read this scripture tonight, and then you go to your devotional groups, and then your counselors ask you, "Hey, what did you take from the message today?" And you guys are like, "I don't know." That's the same thing. This idea of shifting our attitude, shifting our attention to, "Hey, when I'm in here, I'm locked in to what Jesus is trying to tell me. I'm locked in to the purpose that God has for me." And there's a couple examples, you know, in scripture it says, you know, blessed are those who hear the word of God and obey it. Again, there's the proof. The only way that we know that you guys are understanding this is if you guys have the opportunity to then apply it, right? Reflecting upon it. And as it continues to go on, it says, and after, you know, looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently. So if you guys ever looked at something intently, you guys ever seen it like a microscope or anything, like looking closely, that means you're paying attention to all the big details. So again, like that reference I was saying, maybe some of you guys are looking in the mirror before you head off to school, making sure that curl is perfectly placed, or that your eyebrows are straight and edged out, or that, you know, that again, the blemishes are covered up. Whatever the case may be, you're looking intently into the word. Looking intently into what God has to tell you. And not only looking intently, but not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, and they will be blessed in what they do. And just a couple reinforced scriptures on this. Romans 2:13 tells us, "For it is not those who hear the law who are righteous in God's sight, but it is those who obey the law who will be declared righteous." And then another one, it says, "Dear children," in 1 John 3:18, "let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and with truth." This entire week, you have an opportunity, as I've been saying over and over again, to not only hear the gospel and hear what Jesus has to say on your life, but you get to take this time to refine it, to reflect on it, to sit in his presence, and then you get to take it home with you and commit to the things that we're hearing today. What would it look like? Again, I asked this question on the first night. What would it look like if you spent the next 2 months, as what James says here, reflecting and intentionally looking at what God has within these pages? And then finally, there's just a couple more verses. I tell my youth this, and I've also told my young adults this a couple times, where there's a difference between believers and what I call wanna believers. And so believers, they're actively engaged with the word. They ask questions. They persevere through their trials. They wrestle with their temptations. They're not simply hiding them. And even when they miss the mark or mess up, they keep their gaze glued to God. That's why you see people like David, like Solomon, Peter. That's why you see people like Ezekiel, Jeremiah, Isaiah. You see all these individuals who were highly favored by God, not because of anything that they specifically did, but that even in the midst of their failure, they gazed intently on who Jesus was, who God is, what his character is. And now one of believers, they hear the word and they do nothing with it. They say, that was a great talk. I'm going to go about my business as usual. I want to encourage you guys. I believe God has more plans than just making y'all a bunch of pew sitters and a bunch of hymn singers. I think that he's established ministers among this congregation. I believe that he's established encouragers. I believe that he's established worship leaders. I'm already seeing it every day. It's incredible. And I also think that he's established image bearers in each and every one of you. All he's asking is for a response to a question that he made when Jesus was on the cross. And that is, do you trust in my sacrifice? And if you trust in my sacrifice, then you will do what James is instructing you right now. You will listen to my commands, and through that, you will do them. And finally, as we wrap up, guys, you know, it says in verse 26, those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Each one of you, if you claim to follow Jesus, your integrity, your standard is already set apart from the world. You cannot look like the world if you want to be closer to Jesus. You have an opportunity to make that choice on, okay, do I want to abide in what's common, or do I want to shift towards the thing that is going to bring me the joy and also bring joy to others around me? And then finally, it says in verse 27, this is the religion that God identifies with. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. So there's two things within that. First off, just to give you guys some context within that, he's talking about looking after orphans and widows. At that time, orphans and widows were one of the most underprivileged class. And to be honest, even in today's world, they still are. And the reason why he specifically used them as the example is because orphans and widows are the highest individuals likely to never be able to repay what you give them. So if we want to be a generation of believers, then we need to understand that when we give to others, we need to acknowledge that we give from our heart and not from a function of doing just because we know it's our Christian duty. We do it from a level of joy that penetrates beyond anything that this world can give us. And then finally, we keep oneself from being polluted by the world. By the world. So as we wrap up, guys, there's one other thing that I like to share with my youth, and it's something that I'm going to be pressing into, you know, throughout my time as their pastor. And it's this idea of moving head knowledge into heart wisdom. So you guys are here sharpening yourselves, understanding the word, being able to build in your knowledge, but knowledge is just one piece of the puzzle. Knowing God, knowing about God is great, but when we move it to the heart and actually understand his character and what he has for us, we can then move in a way that we can apply what we're hearing and what we're reading in scripture. And the thing that I am going to be fighting against as a pastor is I never want to hear these words spoken to any of us who claim to be believers. And that is in Luke 6:46, where it says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, but do not do what I say?" And I just want to encourage you, when I hear the character of Jesus, when I read and try to understand more of who he is, of who God is, I don't think that he is speaking that question in a way that is condemning. I don't think that he is trying to make you feel guilty for not fully following in his footsteps. I think, and And I believe with conviction that when he's asking that question, he's asking it in a way to give you a chance to be restored. He's asking it in a way that has arms open and not arms closed. Because how often do we hear from our parents, from our teachers, from those we disappoint, they're closed off, they're disengaged, and they simply are saying that because that's the only thing that they can say to try to hurt us, to try to get back at us, to try to make themselves feel better. That's humans. But in God's character, he's asking, he's like, hey, why don't you follow me? I know you are trying. Come to me, let's figure this out. Listen to what I'm saying. Obey my commands, and you will get the crown of eternal life right here and right now. All you have to do is listen. Acknowledge me for who I am. I love you. And we know that is true because of what Jesus did for us on the cross. So as we bring up our worship team, they're gonna wrap up with a song tonight. And as they're coming up here, guys, so, you know, we have this question, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? And again, God is always speaking to us, whether we listen or not. And one thing that I see in Luke 19, and this is a response from Jesus, when a lady was, he just casted out a demon who made a man mute. People were amazed. They were questioning him. They were like, oh, well, only demons can cast out other demons. And you know how Jesus is. He's always got these one-liners, and he just comes at these Pharisees like hard, hardcore. Like, I love the Gospels just because Jesus be hitting them hard, and he be hitting me hard. But one thing that I like at the end is there was a woman that was trying to exalt him, trying to praise him, trying to lift him up. And his response is just so beautiful. And it's something that I think one of you guys need to hear tonight as you continue in your faith journey. And that is, in Luke 19, it says, for the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. So when you hear God ask you, why don't you follow me? What he's asking you to do is like, hey, come to me. In all your trouble, in all your sorrow, in all your mess, run to me, because when you run to me, I will not only give you peace, but I also give you the ability and the conviction to do what I've called you to do.
Thanks for listening to this chapel session and for diving into scripture with us. We hope you've been encouraged in your walk with Jesus, and we hope to see you here at camp for next year's summer camp. So thanks again, and have a great rest of your day.